This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to make that big decision. Yeah. I want to win championships. I want to win bowl games. Where else is a better place to do it than your city? Oh.
The power of home represents something. The DMV, like, you try to explain it to people that aren't from there, and it's hard to explain it.
That thing we talk about, Maryland pride, is real. And the way we're going to play with Maryland pride.
He's going to go! Touchdown, Maryland!
The Terrapins have one last shot at winning this game. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, throws it up.
Money!
And he got it! And the Terrapins win at the buzzer!
Stevie Francis, showtime.
Oh, Bill! What a play by Bias! Holy cow!
Maryland hits the road to beat Penn State.
Maryland pulls off the upset.
They have defeated number one, and the celebration is on.
And the kids have done it! Maryland wins their first ever national championship, holding up Indiana 64-52, and let's listen and look at the celebration.
Let's go, Maryland! Let's go, Maryland! Let's go, Maryland! Let's go, Maryland!
Be not afraid of greatness. Some are born great. Some achieve greatness. And others host college sports and recruiting podcasts.
You're listening to IMS Radio at InsideMarylandSports.com. Your hosts, Jeff Ehrman, Paul Douglas, and Larry France.
Gentlemen. Three in the books, 3-0, looking good. And I got to tell you, the game is whatever. I had a great time at the tailgate. And it's pertinent because I brought a friend who hadn't been in years, who also had a great time at the tailgate, will be coming back. I sense a shift happening this year. I feel a different vibe, a different energy. Do you feel the same, Paul?
No.
You don't? I do. I feel it feels different to me this year than it did last year and the year before.
Look, man, here's my whole deal. Maryland are the kings of September. This is what we do, right? You go out there, you kick some butt. You're very good against non-conference, very good about not losing games that they shouldn't lose, especially at home, especially in September and the weather's nice. It's like after October starts where you start to wonder whether things are right. I will say this.
Paul, that's the doom around the corner. Larry's talking about the vibes currently
at the
stadium.
Well, let me finish. I was going to say, I will say that the especially the students have really shown out so far. That's always good. And I think that has improved over time. And it does feel like the crowd that's showing up has been good. It's just, you know, you just can't get people in that building.
But there's more this year for the early games than there was last year. You couple the scoreboard, which didn't start until midway through last year, right? And then you couple the light show that they do that's really cool. The audio they've got worked out. The whole experience is better.
I thought you were talking about like the fan, fans and attendance and stuff, but I will say that the production values of what's going on in the stadium is as good as I've ever seen it.
Yes.
I mean, Damon dumped a lot of money in that, and that was like a big thing for him to make sure that when you come to a Maryland football game, you're getting a real college football experience. And I mean, the audio is way better. They're trying stuff with the band in ways they haven't before.
The lighting, the light show.
Yeah, the lights were cool. The thing they're doing at the end of the third quarter, which the students and the rest of the fans are really seem to be getting into, like it all helps. It's not going to fill the building. The football team has to do that. But when you go to a Maryland game, like, you're getting a good experience out of it, which I don't think you could say.
Exactly my point.
Most of the time.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying.
I thought you were talking about the team, really.
The game experience. I think the vibe at the stadium, the fan experience, there's more fans early this year than there were early last year. They're actually in the seats. I don't remember what the numbers announced were, but there are more people there.
I can actually tell you that I have seen more kickoffs this year than I've seen in the past five combined, probably. I mean, it feels like this is a team that's worth showing up for. Of course, we're not getting the greatest first quarters. Maybe I should start missing kickoffs again. I don't know. But again, if you're talking about the experience, the vibe of the whole show, completely agree. It's definitely been way better.
And the thing about that is that those improvements are not going to make 10,000 more people come next week. But the casuals that do come, like Larry's friend, they're going to come back. And if Maryland wins, if they can keep winning,
then it becomes a thing.
People will come back because it is experience. People have high expectations, and the experience before was not good.
Yeah, right? It is absolutely a factor in the formula of filling that place regularly. It's not the biggest one, but it's up there, and it matters. Yeah.
And I met a bunch of people. I met a couple, a young couple, that I think they're around 25, named Austin and Megan. And they bought the $99.
Did you get a bumper for them?
No, I didn't.
Megan?
This is Austin and Megan, and you're listening to IMS Radio.
They bought the $99 ticket package. Actually, they were going to buy the $99 ticket package. They went in, they're like, we'll pay the $129 to get the mezzanine or whatever it was, that small upgrade to get to the next level. Yeah. So that worked too. They're there. You got some mid-20s. The students... them coming to this is going to pay dividends 10 years from now and 20 years from now. Like it's good now. They're going to have this memory of going to the games. Whereas 5 years ago, that wasn't happening. We lost a generation of people.
Right.
Yeah. No,
doesn't tank. And if your down years are still respectable years, that'll be ingrained in them. So
yes. Yeah, I mean, what is important here? We talk about these long-term expectations. Like, yes, you've got to be able to pull off an 8 or a 9 every once in a while. You got to be able to beat one of the big teams every once in a while. You've also got to make your bad years you're still scraping to 6, right? And I feel like that's an important thing that we kind of overlook a little bit. Like, as long as you're still competitive. I feel like when the experience is good, people are bringing their kids, are having a good time, like the third quarter thing with the phones, like that stuff does matter. I mean, it is part of the experience and it does matter. So
I feel the tide shifting.
And we have definitely not invested in those things since, like, I don't know, forever.
Now
they're figuring out that tailgating matters, it seems like, with the Bud Light thing that they had.
Yeah.
That would have never been a consideration a few years ago, I'm sure. The move toward serving alcohol and it kind of changes the culture there.
I'm sorry.
A few years ago, they had tailgating. The most legendary thing about tailgating was that one cop used to go around busting people's balls for
What was it? Officer Tan. Officer Tan?
Officer Tao.
Tao.
Yeah.
Officer Tao. Yes.
Yeah. And now we have cops that come up and like hang out with us, like just to hang out. Like,
yes,
it's whatever. And, I'll say again, like the Terrapin Club gets a lot of shtick for this stuff. But like I've seen Kirby Mills has been to every game so far, walking around lot 9B. That's not where the big donors are. That's where like the guys like me are. And that stuff matters. Again, making people feel like their voices are heard. And that they're recognized, even though they're not like giant lot Z front row donors that don't own suites, that stuff matters, man. So like, we got to give them credit when they deserve it. And I feel like they really do.
They do right now.
Getting even what the football team is doing.
And I spent some time at the tailgate for the Maryland Alumni Association, which was also near the Terrapin Club and everything. And that was really fun. They're putting on a great thing there. And of course we have Ben Page. Can't forget to mention Ben Page and his old line tailgate. That's great. While I was at the alumni, tailgate. I was there for about a half an hour. We're doing some Jell-O shooters. And I met someone who gave me a bumper.
It wasn't Austin and...
It wasn't Austin and Megan, no.
Megan, okay.
This is the mother
of the guy who was cleaning the urinals at halftime.
Kyle Long, offensive lineman. Here we go.
This is Cheryl Mitchell, and you are listening to IMS Radio.
Yes!
What are the odds that Cheryl Mitchell, mother of second-string offensive lineman, went to the game that day thinking she'd be recording a radio bumper?
She did it, but she didn't think she was going to, but she did.
I think it's going to be starting lineman Kyle Long for too long, the way he's played.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I hung out with Gary Simpson, too, if you remember last show in the chat. He said if I went by his tailgate, he'd give me
a beer. Gary's a show legend.
I found him in Lot Z. We had a beer, and that was good. I did that on the way to the stadium. So it's just about 10, 15 minute little thing, but it was good. I was jumping around.
What do we think about the team?
Oh, wait, before we do that, I just want to make a quick announcement. Everybody watching, we're going to be doing a promotion now where we're going to be giving away 3 free months premium for Inside Maryland Sports. At some point in the show, we're going to give you the cue and you're going to have to post in the chat. And then everybody that posts, we're going to do a random drawing afterward. And one of you will get 3 free months of premium Inside Maryland Sports. So look forward to that. And please subscribe, by the way, while you're
at it. Subscriptions to our YouTube are absolutely free.
Yes.
All the time. 100%.
Yes. Please do that for us, too, if you haven't.
And get your kids to do it and your friends to do it.
Did you post it on the board thread that we're doing that, Paul?
I'm not sure that I did because you're asking me to multitask and things got out of hand. So
you should do that. Jeff, you posted it on Twitter, right?
The subscription link or the promo?
The promo, yes.
I'll add the subscription link.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right.
We're waiting. We decided 2 minutes ago to start giving away free stuff. That's how we roll here.
Yes. The game itself, well, a familiar pattern to what happened in week two where they start exactly 14-0. This one was a little more problematic because the first week was kind of fluky. It was a blown coverage and a pick six, and it was 4 minutes. And then Maryland this was a whole quarter and Virginia played better than Maryland for a quarter. So that was a little more problematic and Virginia's awful. They're probably the worst Power Five team in the country this year. Probably.
There's gotta be someone.
Now, I don't think so. They're bad.
They're certainly in the running.
They're certainly in the running.
Bottom five, and for sure.
So sorry, I got corrected. Not on Twitter. It's called X now. Thank you, Jerry. Long time friend, Jerry.
Yeah, it's Twitter forever. It's
hard to call it that.
It's like telling a New Yorker to not call Avenue of the Americas 6th Avenue. Like it's just the same thing.
Yeah, dumbest, most needless name change ever.
Yeah.
Well, Redskins fans might disagree, but
we won't. So anyway, look for that promotion, and we are already segued into the game. That's right. Okay,
football. That was bad.
Bad first quarter, but then again, to the coach's credit, they figured it out and dominated for the entire rest of the game and won 48-14. What I want to see is can one time our coaches, Maryland's coaches, outsmart the other team and they come out with a game plan they're not ready for. That's what I want to see. Can that happen one time?
It's so interesting, right? Because the last couple of years, Maryland's been so good off the script, at least especially offensively. I mean, I feel like last year they scored like touchdowns on 10 out of their 12 first drives or something ridiculous. And now the first drive, they feel like they can't even get the ball snapped correctly. Yeah. So it feels like a fluky thing, but it's also not a good enough team where we're just going to, you can really just write it off.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to make of this team. I mean, obviously they're better than all three of the teams they played. If they weren't better, they would have never come back and made those games blowouts by putting up, 38 at a time or 31 the week before or whatever it happened to be. But something certainly isn't exactly right. And I just don't know whether you're talking about a talent or a coaching issue or whether it's just a fluky thing that happened in these two games.
It's just two games. It could just be variance, right? Like, it could just be that. It could be.
College football is weird, man. And this is the time of year where like weird stuff happens. I mean, does anybody really look good out there right now? I mean, Washington looks pretty good.
Texas, obviously, Florida State until last week. Georgia looks a little. They haven't
covered. Even their offense looks like butt. So like it feels fluky, but the Maryland fan in me is just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. What if it's not? Like I feel like we'll see this week. Even though Michigan State's bad, they're, you know, you feel like that's a team they're either going to rally for the Gipper, or they're just going to give up, and I don't know which we're going to get. But either way, you get to 4-0, you start talking about a very different thing with Indiana coming at home.
Big
game.
I think
it's probably fluky. I think it's a lot of new pieces together, new offensive coordinator, teams that they knew they were going to beat, so they're not coming up, you know, obviously in a perfect world, that wouldn't matter, but it does matter in college sports. I predicted on the site and on Twitter, I think, this weekend, this is one of those situations you've seen it a million times. Team plays a couple bad teams or at home, kind of half-asses it, and then has like an important game, which, you know, this one obviously Loxley has a million things he can point to from the past two games. You can say this is our first road game, first Big Ten game. You know, this is one that we have to win if we're going to have the season that we want to have. Look at how we started the last. So there's a lot of teachable stuff, and there's a lot of motivational angles. So I have a feeling they're going to come out strong Saturday, but you never know. The past two starts have been hideous.
I think it's more important to come out strong on Saturday than it is maybe any other game because of Michigan State situation. If they come out and pounce on them early, they could quit. If they don't and Michigan State gets the 14-0 lead, well, they're going to start playing. And so I think it's more important in this game than the others.
That's exactly the other dynamic I wrote earlier. Yeah, you kick them in the face early and you get them down, they're definitely going to quit. You know, these are guys trying to figure out where they're going to be playing next year, who the coach is, all this stuff. You know, if they're able to hang around, then they're going to really fight to try to keep their season alive, like you said. So it totally can go either way. So it is, you know, hugely important for them to get off to a good start.
It was interesting, though, sitting in the crowd watching it against UVA, because I imagine a lot of people were stressed. And I actually felt better against UVA than I did against Charlotte, because UVA comes out and they're doing a flea flicker and they're doing these double reverses and all this crap. Like, that's just like a coaching staff telling you that, like, they saw the tape and they don't think they can beat this team without doing some weird shit. And it happened to work most of the time. So, like, it is what it is, but it seemed pretty clear to me this was a game that they were going to come back and dominate, and they did. It's just when you start adding in the conference play and you're adding in a program that's got some pride. I mean, they haven't been their best since D'Antonio kind of crapped out at the end in that one year with Kenneth Walker running all over everybody under Tucker. But like, this is a proud program. They've got this is not like a big program in the Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State realm, but like, this is a proud bunch of guys and fans and whatnot. And they're not going to make this easy. So
they're not very proud right now.
Well, I imagine they're pretty proud if they can get Mel Tucker and that contract out the door without having to pay him.
I'm not going to go farther than this. That whole thing is fishy.
I was just going to say that.
It's a bit sketchy. I'm not – again, we're going to go down some – I don't want to go down any place we can't dig ourselves out of, but, like, it's weird just across the board, and I don't even want to really get into it, but for Maryland's sake, all you want to do is go up there or get you in, get the hell out of there and let whatever happens happen. Just don't want to be any part of that story.
You get that win, man. Come back home. Indiana's terrible. I mean, 5-0 is something. Then you're just setting yourself up where you win the ones you're supposed to win, pull off one upset, and it's an amazing season.
Yeah, that's the schedule this year. I mean,
it's hard to recall a schedule playing out this advantageously for them ever. I'm sure in the ACC there was, but in the Big Ten, clearly there hasn't been one that's been half as cushy for them.
They have a chance to be favored and are very close to that right now, maybe probably are small favorites in six of the remaining nine games. The three big dogs against Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, small favorites to sizable favorites in the other six, which if you're doing binary predictions, you can talk yourself into 9-3 that way. Easily. I don't think that'll happen because you got to go 6-0, and 6-0 is tough. Even when you're a favorite, 4-2, 5-1 is more likely. I didn't ask you about updating your projections this week. Are you doing any updates yet or no? Still no?
I can't take – that's the other thing. I can't recall another season where it was so hard to take anything away, even after almost a month in this season where you really have no idea what they are.
I did up mine.
Bad teams, they've looked terrible at times, they've looked good at other times. There's literally – you just don't know.
I went from 6.69 victories – to 7.1, and that's still low compared to what most other people are saying. But and some of it was Maryland, mostly not Maryland. Most of it was the rest of the Big Ten just look bad,
yeah.
Right? They look bad, and Michigan State's in their situation. So that's why a lot of my numbers went up. But I still can't mathematically get them to 8 when I'm like looking at the percentages.
I think I'm staying where I am until I see what happens this week. I mean, it feels like I don't need style points this week either. I know Michigan State bad, but again, any Big Ten road game is going to be tough. It just is. And you just got to accept it and whatever. You go up there, win 24-21. I'm generally fine with that. As long as there's not bad injuries or anything like that, just find a way, get to 4-0. And then, you know, with Indiana at home, man, you can really start to dream a little bit. I mean, that's
they can't slip up here. Though. Indiana plays tough. Tom Allen is probably going to be out soon, but they are still playing hard. Have you watched them? They're not talented. They're playing hard. They could win the game.
Oh, sure. That's not a 90-10 game, but that's it's
75-25.
Yeah, it's a game Maryland should win at home. I mean,
they got housed by Louisville at home last week.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe Louisville's better than they have been this year. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
ACC is not my wheelhouse at this point, especially with the quality. I mean, look at Clemson. Even Clemson stinks.
So many college football teams look absolutely terrible right now. It's just a weird. Maybe we feel this way every year. I just don't remember, but it feels like a really weird season. Like I just don't see a lot of really dominant quality teams out there. And maybe you're starting to see a little bit of how the portal is factoring in this, you know, where maybe it's harder to get teams, especially in September, to really kind of mold together and get used to playing together. I don't know what it is. It's not a great product right now, to be honest with you, but you know, it's led to some really fun games, some interesting stuff. I mean, for all everybody's talking about Colorado, right? I mean, Colorado State sucks, and they should have won that game at Colorado in front of Master P and every other freaking celebrity in the world. So, you know, it's a weird year, and it feels like a year that, like, the stars could align for a program like Maryland if they can just get their own shit together. And it feels like they're not that far away from that.
Well,
I would not have been mad if Colorado State won. I'm not a Deion hater in any way. I respect what he's a little obnoxious, whatever. I respect what he's done. The stuff he said about the kid from Colorado State was super.
That was cool.
Yeah. Charitable and graceful and, you know, kind of let him off the hook. So it's the bandwagon fans. Most of these people could not have told you what state University of Colorado was in last year. And now it's almost a Cowboys dynamic. And
I love it.
Annoying, so,
I can't stop watching it. I think it's great for college football. I'm just glad it's not anywhere near us. But I love watching it.
No, I'm the same way.
Great for the sport.
It's great for the sport and, you know, whatever. But I hate when anybody gets overwhelmingly positive coverage, you know, whether it's Calipari or, you know, anybody else, right? So
I think they're going to get their ass handed to them this week. I think Oregon is going to.
Oh, boy, man. Oregon and Washington back-to-back is not a good look.
Not good.
That's Oregon, right?
That's at
Oregon? Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's
good luck.
Multiple touchdown loss.
We got a comment in the chat from Jerry that the sneaky thing Besides a huge few plays, the defense has looked really good, and I agree with that.
Completely agree.
It's those the first like fluky plays, like in the beginning of the game against Charlotte and UVA, and then have completely shut down the teams. Besides, yeah,
it's flea flickers and weird stuff and coverage breakdowns. So like that's fixable stuff.
Yep.
I feel like the penalties and the discipline, we had one pretty bad one, I think, last week. But otherwise, they've certainly been down quantitatively. And I think qualitatively, you're not getting those like 30.
It's better. It's a little better. And that's good. And but
Jayshon Jones has been on his best behavior.
No, but I was just going to bring him up when he scored his touchdown. He still spun around,
but he didn't
look at the defender and threw him the ball though. And I'm like, oh my God, no, don't.
I could see that coming a mile away. I've seen him do that so many. As soon as he was at the five and I saw him start to turn his body,
I was like,
I knew exactly what was
going. Don't do it.
He didn't open his mouth.
You know what? He hasn't got a penalty in three games. I don't think so. Whatever. People are overdoing it.
He's reformed.
They have trauma, and there was one game. Was that last year where he had one that cost them the game? Or
that was two. Was it the COVID year when he had the crackback block against Rutgers that cost him the game?
Yeah,
I remember that.
He's looked really good though.
I almost forgot
he's
that.
Really good. I mean, for a guy excellent. Who's torn his ACL twice.
Yes, he has looked good. And Caden Prather looks very good.
He's got a little bit of Dante Demas in him. He's not as explosive, but he's got a little bit of that same kind of vibe.
That was exactly what I was hoping this year. When I saw him in spring practice, I was like, man, if he could just do the Demas thing, just be able to run long and be able to do that kind of possession stuff, catch, you know, big balls down the sideline. Like that's just huge. And they haven't had that since Demas went down. I'd like to see a little bit more from the guys on the inside. If there's one thing you want to complain about, they've had to rely on Dyches for that kind of stuff. You'd like to see, I think, Ty's got to do a little bit better. He's dropped too many balls.
Yep.
And then Chambers has not been healthy. Right. So did he play at all last week?
Yeah, he caught one ball.
Yeah, so he's
getting healthy. He's getting healthy now.
He feels like the type of guy you could really get some usage in the slot and kind of underneath and really unlock some of those defenses. So I'd like to see more of that. Certainly like to see all those young tight ends getting runouts. You know, Rico Walker's been out there, caught a couple balls. Preston Howard had that nice catch and the hurdle last week. So
yeah,
there's
that was beautiful.
That was pretty. And
that's
hey,
one me, of the best ever.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderfully done. Good form too for a big guy.
Mm-hmm. I wrote it multiple times last year behind the scenes. They were like, this kid is going to be a star.
Yep.
About him. So he's legit. CJ Dupree loss really
hasn't affected him.
Yep. No, I mean, Howard I didn't realize. The Maryland tweeted today that he's leading all FBS tight ends in receiving yards, which is pretty impressive. So
yeah, CJ Dupree downgraded his team.
He hasn't done anything, has he?
Maryland's clearly better. They're 3-0. Alabama's 2-1.
He's got a couple
shit last week.
There was a great bowl projection with Maryland against Alabama in the Citrus Bowl last week.
That would be amazing.
That was funny.
I'll take it right now. All three and now I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. Florida in January? Yes.
Yes.
Take that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
Let me just give a shout out to Colby McDonald because that kid seems to do nothing but run for like 8 yards of carry and not get a lot of burn. So like it's cool to see him start to kind of push his way into that running back room and really, really make a difference.
Dude, second in the Big Ten in yards per carry right now.
The Ramon Brown injury is making me think, and the way Locks hides the severity of injuries and the fact that he hasn't played is making me think maybe he's on tap for a redshirt.
Bye-bye got
no
a couple weeks ago is I think he'll be able to play in the next few weeks is the vibe I got from some conversations. But
4 games is still I mean, we're 3 into the season now. He can get in 4 games and still
win.
So he misses 3 more. You're getting close to that, right?
Especially when you have the depth that you have. You can't play 4 guys anyway, especially when you're passing the ball 60-something percent of the time. So it makes sense. You know, Hemby might be gone in the NFL next year, possibly. You know,
right.
McDonald. Does he have eligibility left?
He's a sophomore. I think he's a sophomore, Colby.
No, he's a junior, I think. Or he, yeah, he probably redshirted that first year.
He def, yeah.
Yeah, so he's yeah, got he's plenty of eligibility.
Him and Hemby are both redshirt sophomores, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Littleton, I think, is also.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's a junior. Maybe he played more. Maybe he played the first year. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not about that on the site. It's almost a little overcrowded once Ramon Brown comes back.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like it's the vibe is either going to be a redshirt or a transfer, and we're not entirely sure yet. But that's not reporting so much as me just
right.
Looming.
Yeah. The other thing is, I am not an expert on offensive line. I don't understand that. Inner machinations of who messed up when and all that often because it's tricky, but they look pretty good to me. I didn't see on the board if there was any rumblings about it. There were multiple times in that game.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Where Leah had many seconds and he just stood back there. That didn't happen really. I don't remember even against Charlotte. I think it happened against Towson. Towson's awful, but I think they're getting better. Do you agree with that or no?
I think a little bit better. I mean, you know, Gottlieb, Eisday, I don't know. I screw
up. Say it again. Say it again.
I don't know. He said it in different. What was it he said? I don't know. Gotti, they call him Gotti, so we'll just go Gotti. He's starting to play. That helps, you know, because Connor Fagan, I don't want to ding him too hard, he's a walk-on. He was a tight end originally. You know, he's having some ups and downs there. But Kyle Long.
Yes.
Larry's.
Once your mother gives the bumper, then you're golden.
Yes.
Four-year starter.
Scientific. I think they're a little better, but it'll be interesting to see them against Michigan State, any Big Ten front.
Yes.
And I also think it's going to be interesting to see the defensive backs against a real team because they have not really impressed me much so far. They didn't have Bo Brady the other day, so that has some effect. But guys are getting open too often. I mean, guys are getting wide open early in the Virginia game. I think they're, you know, that was going in the season. It was offensive line. To me, you know, a lot of people said defensive line, and that still is kind of a question mark. But it was more so offensive line and corner. And so those are the things that you really have to evaluate now against a Big Ten team.
It's a kid that I love. But to be fair, I believe both the touchdowns on the busted coverage and the flea flicker were on Dante Trader. And that's – you got to be able to count on a guy like that, you know, multi-year starter. And I don't want to say it but I am thinking it. Like, you wonder if playing lacrosse too, maybe missing some practice time, his instincts quite aren't up to par yet. I want the kid to be successful and do whatever he wants to do, but like, just the fact that it was both on him is odd to me because
he struggled. He let several big plays go, and Tarheeb still got beat quite a bit too. Yeah. He made up for it with the picks. If he didn't have those picks, I think the Phantom hands to the face call also was on him apparently. I learned like 14 days after the game. It's
hard to believe that even occurred at this point.
Yeah, I thought about having John Oren on to talk about, because he spoke on his podcast today about how bad the broadcast was and what a failure it was by, I didn't realize it at the time, that FS1 didn't even have their guys in the booth. Those guys are like broadcasting remotely.
Well, I didn't watch it because it was there. So.
That's why they were constantly whiffing. They didn't know who made the play. They were like, oh, and there's a flag like 8 seconds after the play. It was horrendous.
Well, and that's the thing. They didn't even have a spotter there. I mean, usually if you're not going to send the play-by-play guys, you might send a spotter just to be there to call out numbers, call out flags and help them out. They didn't even have that. Can you imagine paying billions of dollars for the rights to these games and not being able to come up with like 2 airplane tickets and a night in a hotel for these guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. That's incredible. I mean, you're going to have to pay some, obviously more than we're going to underestimate. There's going to be some production staff, whatever, right. But still, that's still pennies.
Well, the production staff had to come. The production staff is there. It's just the guys in the booth.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unfathomable decision. There was a really good article on Awful Announcing about it. If you haven't read it yet, you should check that out. They broke down the whole thing and what a failure it was by FS1.
Especially, given it's Friday night, you're the only game in town. It is national TV. There's nobody else playing football right now. And, I mean, I would almost understand if it was, the Big Ten unwatchable game, noon kick of the week, right? Maryland Rutgers in week 12. Right. Have some teenagers, have a local high school kids come out and do it. I don't care. But, this just made no damn sense. And it's just kind of an insult. And
no, it was really, really pathetic. Shitty. But anyways, sorry for the tangent.
No worries. No, that needed it was a to be good said tangent.
Because I think a lot of people felt the same. So.
Last thing about football before we move on, recruiting, Jeff. There was a lot of guys at the game, correct? And I don't know how much. There's articles on Inside Maryland Sports. So if you are subscribed, go read those articles. I don't know how much you're going to let out here. But a lot of guys at the game and maybe some teases about flips or commits and things like that. So what do you want to give away?
I mean, you're right. There are a ton of committed guys at the games, guys, as I've said before, the class is now right around 20 players committed already. So now at this point, you're really just focusing on the highly rated guys who you want to flip from other schools. Guys like Aaron Childs from Good Counsel is committed to Florida. He's the number one player in Maryland. Gabe Williams, also a linebacker like Childs from Pilates. I'll give that one away. I feel like they have a really legit chance to flip Gabe Williams from Virginia Tech. His teammate Ryan Howerton is committed to Maryland, offensive lineman from Pilates. Maryland's done pretty well at Pilates in recent years. They got some guys, playing early from there, his former teammates. So he sees them playing early. So that's one I feel like, that they're right in there for. There are a whole bunch of other guys. And, if you can keep this winning going and play exciting football, I think kind of like we discussed earlier about the growing the vibe in the stadium with the fans, I think the vibe of the recruits will mirror that. I don't think, they're not going to get a top 10 class by any stretch, but this is a big year for them because they might fall back a little next year if Talia is gone and other guys are gone. So you really got to kind of make hay, as they say.
Backfill.
Yeah. So I think that, I'm not ready to crystal ball any of these guys, but I feel like they're making some progress and they have some guys interested.
Maybe not top 10, but I was playing around with the class calculator, as I am wont to do. It's a lot of fun.
and
they can get close to 25 or even in the top 25 if things break the right way. They can do that.
That 25 to 30 range would be pretty respectable given what we've seen the last few years and what, Locke's been able to pull off in the portal as well afterwards. So,
yes.
Again, it's not all about the high school kids anymore. You need to have that base. And I really like getting those kind of high level 3-star guys that you can just build your program around and then pluck here and there with some of the really elite talent or guys who may be looking to move up from somewhere. That's always felt like an attainable sweet spot for Maryland, somewhere in that 25 to 30 range. So it'd be nice.
25, you'll take 25 any year you can get it and have a parade. I mean, 25 for Maryland, when you convert for it, the conversion rate when you compare Maryland to these other Big Ten schools, just in terms of pedigree and NIL and all this other stuff, 25 is like top 10,
Great. Okay. I think it's time to do a little promotion. Everybody in the chat live with us right now, what do you want them to type, Jeff? Anything? Now, they got to say something specific. How about IMS is number one? How about they have to type IMS is number one? Type IMS is number one in the chat right now. And everybody who types that, we will put your name in a hat, we'll draw it out, and we'll give away 3 free months of premium. Type IMS is number one.
Do right at the end of the show.
So you guys go ahead and do that. Our crowd throughout the year is slowly building. slowly building.
If you we're like Maryland. Every week
we're the number of people is there. We go. There we go. We got some people typing. We got it. It's coming. Type it in there in the chat for us. These, of course, the first couple of people are hoping nobody else types it, so they have a 50-50 shot.
So, Larry, at the end of the show, you'll pick, at the very end, we'll pick a random winner. We'll do it every week.
I'm going to copy and paste it into a spreadsheet, and we'll do a random number generator or something like that.
Very good.
Yeah. Or I'll put it in a spreadsheet, randomize it, and let Paul pick a number, and then I'll show the spreadsheet.
There we go. That's
we'll easy do it that, we'll do it that way.
You knew it had to come back to a spreadsheet.
You know it's coming back to a spreadsheet.
Got to.
He's sponsored by Microsoft Excel, actually.
Yes. I love Microsoft. Well, my favorite toy is something called Power BI. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Sounds kinky.
I was going to say, does that have to do with those chairs behind you? Or
no, Power BI, it takes data from spreadsheet or like a SharePoint list and then does all kinds of cool shit. Yes, Paul loves it when I talk
about it. When the rest of us had like posters of like Baywatch or something on the wall, Larry just had spreadsheets when he was like a teenager.
Well, right. It was before Excel when I was a teenager, but
he just had graphing paper up on the wall.
No, what I would used to do when I was a kid, usually on Saturday mornings, I would get the baseball stats and I would go through the batting averages and I would calculate like which teams had the most players in the top, and I'd count them, like mostly looking at the Orioles and see who had the most guys ranked that were qualified. And I did all that kind of stuff, but it was pen and paper. And yeah, I did that.
Oh, I'm not hating on that. I was a huge baseball nerd. I did all kinds of stuff.
I still am.
That's very sad.
Still all that stuff. Okay. We got a bunch of people. I'll say it again in case people didn't hear. Type IMS is number one in the chat. And in a little bit, we're going to do a random drawing to get 3 free months of premium on Inside Maryland Sports. So
go ahead. We're going to pick the winner at the end, and then you have to contact us. That is how this is going to work. You got to stay to the end, or it doesn't matter. We're not going to track you down.
They can also watch it live, but watch the rerun. You know.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yes. Okay. Basketball. There was a big visit. We want to talk about what happened on this visit this past weekend, Jeff.
Yeah, Matthew Hodge, the forward from New Jersey, originally from Belgium, took his official visit to Maryland. I posted an update right after the visit. His father was glowing about the visit. It's getting pretty close to decision time for Hodge. He was to visit Virginia Tech and Virginia after this. I reported actually going into the visit that I've been hearing he might not take those visits. That's the case now. He's done. So it's getting close. They really want him badly. You know, they've been on him since early when nobody really had heard of him nationally. Maryland and Villanova look like the big two. Marquette, Xavier, Penn State battling to try to stay in there. So, you know, he'd be a great get considering Dante Scott is going to be gone. You need a four, and he is a very skilled four who can shoot, pass, create. You know, I think at number 92 in the country, he is very underrated. So, you know, he's right up there with, you know, obviously no one is as important as Derek Queen, but he's right on that next level in terms of importance for them.
I think Hodge and Queen would be a really fine class to follow up the one they had last year, a top 10 almost, and a top 100 is, you do that every year, you've got a great team every year.
Yeah, it's better than fine. I mean, especially by Maryland standards, that's amazing. Obviously, Queen is an outlier. They don't get, I think the last they got, Jalen Smith 5 years ago, Diamond Stone 3 years before that. Before that, Mike Jones might have been the last five-star, honestly. So five-stars don't come around very often. So if you were to get him and another guy in Hodge who's really good and then see what else. And then obviously Afosa Oliogu, the Canadian wing that we've talked about a lot. You know, he moved up to top 20 in the latest composite rankings. So if you were to get those two, get him, have him reclass, and join them, then
now you got a top 10 class,
maybe top five, depending on how, if you add more guys, to, you know, the numbers throw it off so much in basketball. But yeah, I mean, that would be a dream class, but you got to get one first. Still nobody on that, on that commitment list.
Yeah, they need Hodge. They need Hodge to pop. I mean, you get the last visit. The dad is glowing about it. You got the personal connection with Mike Jones. Again, if Mike Jones can't pull this one off, then I'm not sure what he's doing here, frankly. But we'll let that go until we see what happens. But canceling the other visits, you got to feel pretty good about that one. And he needs somebody to jump off the ledge. They've got Queen coming in about a month, and. If you end up pulling those two in a portal guard, that's a pretty damn good class. I've been down on this class a little bit because I'm scared that they were going to whiff. It doesn't feel like they're going to completely whiff at this point. And I don't like having to rely on the portal. I guess they just didn't really like a lot of the point guards this class, or they didn't get in early enough for them. I know they really like all the guys in next class. Just the guard situation in college basketball will always worry me when you don't have guys and you're just kind of counting on figure out something in the spring. And that might just be an old school, you know, looking at how these things used to go in the pre-portal years. But it would be hard to complain if you nail those two. You know, Oliagu, I'm scared to death about these Canadian kids. I feel like they're all just going to go straight to pros one way or another. But happy to be convinced wrong about that, too.
And as I wrote, I think Willard might have something on his sleeve with the guards that isn't quite out there yet. So I don't think he's flying, you know, what's the phrase? Flying naked?
Flying blind.
Flying blind. Thank you. Flying naked. That's
fine. Flying naked? I mean, if you want to fly naked, that's
just soaring through the air.
I'm not here to kink shame.
So anyways, yeah, I mean, that'll be really interesting. There's never been like this small of a target list at this stage, or even, I mean, it's probably half what it usually is. So it's coming down to closing time, you know. And then they'll also have, as I wrote, you know, there's a lot of really good options locally in the following two classes. They're all over several of those kids. So we'll have a lot of coverage on that because they're working really hard on some big time juniors and sophomores also.
Got a question in the chat. I don't even know if you can answer this. What you probably know, but probably aren't allowed to answer, but how much NIL money do you think Queen is going to get, or is he asking for?
Enough.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way. I don't think he's not getting a million, but he's not getting 100,000 either. You know, he's going to get some good money. You don't. And the thing about NIL, there's no salary cap and none of it is public. So you have no clue if Indiana's planning on offering him 600 grand or 1.6 million. You never know. So, you know, that's the one wild card, you know, that I always mention. But
and I'm sure the kids
well into the six figures.
I'm sure the kids in the entourage are also very honest about what other schools are offering.
Well, I always imagine that I really want to just hang out with the team, like in behind the scenes for a week and see what the conversations are like. I'm trying to imagine like a guy, say Noah Bashford. Getting a few bucks because they take care of their guys. They're going to give him opportunities, but, you know, he's not getting rich. And then if you have a guy like Derek Queen come in, I'm trying to imagine Derek Queen, like, sitting in the locker room looking at his hundreds of thousands of dollars and they're going out to eat. Like, does Derek Queen have to pay every time? Is he, like, buying gifts for these guys, or is there resentment? Like, it's really amazing to me also that there haven't been stories of bad things happening because of
young
guys getting all this money. You know, think about an 18-year-old with even 100,000 suddenly in their account who's never had real money before, and then think about the guys getting even more than that. I'm surprised there hasn't been some crazy stuff that's gone.
It's got to be happening. The fact that it's not getting out is interesting. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, it's part of what I kind of like about Willard's philosophy generally being to pay guys to stay, not necessarily pay guys to come in, because in a way it feels like those guys, if they're staying and they're making money, they're probably good. They're probably the better players. They're probably team leaders already. So it's not so much as like, oh, look at this freshman who's never even, you know, played, you know, a single game here, walking in being the highest paid player on the team. Like, that feels like you could get into some scenarios.
You're going to be jealousy, I mean? Somebody you could get robbed very easily. Somebody on campus knows you have that kind of money. You could get robbed, or there could be, remember Baylor? Not that, obviously, I'm not hoping for anything like that. Remember Baylor, the kid, Patrick Dennehy, was killed by his teammate years ago. What, nothing to do with NIL, but it was like drug money or something like that, you know, conflicts like that. So it's really amazing to me that there haven't been, but, you know, that's an aside.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Jeff promised Queen, Hodge, and Oliogu next year, which is great. And
Cooper Flag, too.
And Boogie Fland. And so when they all come to Maryland, and then Julian Reese comes back for his senior year, and DHS and Kaiser and company all come back, they're going to have the number one team in the country.
And then Ace Baldwin stays for his sixth year and transfers in, right? Is that how we're doing this? All right.
Oh, Zach Edey is also transferring in next year.
He's eligible. Yep. Oh, you know, that way.
Yeah, I'm hearing Shaq is leaning toward the Terps.
Oh, he would be awful. He couldn't run up
how
the court.
How many points could
– see how big he is?
Well, he could just stand down there on the offensive end. Like, that's fine.
But as out of shape as he is and as athletic as the young guys are, I don't think he would score much.
He'd score 25 a game because he's so damn strong. Nobody would – but he would give up 30 a game because, like he said, he wouldn't be able to
maybe run. I don't
think it's exactly the same as like Larry Bird at 60, like rolling into Pacers practice and banging out like 10 threes in a row and then going home. I don't think that's quite the same with Shaq right now, but you know, that'd be an interesting thing to see. Maybe you play in the TBT or something.
All right, before we go on to our next segment, and we'll give everybody a little reminder. We're doing a promotion today. If you weren't here earlier and you didn't hear this earlier, everyone live right now, type into the chat, IMS is number one. Later on, we're going to do a drawing for everybody who typed it in. We're going to give away 3 free months of premium for Inside Maryland Sports. So
you
type
will be
that
disqualified in. For incorrect spelling and mispronunciation. Or
no, you won't. Don't listen to Paul. He's bitter. He's not able to get it.
I'm just a journalism school brain. I can't tin it off.
We unfortunately do not have a non-rev segment today. I will just say, last night, Maryland versus Penn State soccer was on, and Maryland soccer looks bad. They're normally a national power. They looked like they couldn't string passes together. I'm going, what is happening?
Shout out my boy Tim Twilliger, who's my soccer guy at the tailgate. He said that they're very young and they haven't quite come together yet. Freshmen are scoring goals. That's usually not a great sign of success for a soccer team.
All right. Well, but hope they come together soon.
It's Sasha, man. He'll find a way to figure it out by the end of the season.
Maybe not
Natty style, but certainly they'll be competitive at least.
We'll see.
That's all I got.
We'll see.
Field hockey updates. No rivalry games.
I don't know anything about it, and I was late getting to Wheels. It's my fault. It's not his fault.
I'm sure they are playing field hockey.
But I did remind him, and we had to talk. Hey, we are regular. We are every Wednesday night at 7:30 now. So
until basketball ruins it.
There will be a basketball game or two that's on Wednesday nights, and we'll have to call an audible.
Yep.
All right, I have prepared for you guys. I have prepared for you guys some trivia. And this is kind of an interesting trivia because it's all about Maryland traditions. It's not about like on the field numbers and things like that, okay? It's all about Maryland traditions. So I think
Paul's going to kill me on this one.
I kill you anyway, so this will just be easier.
I figured I'll just let the two of you work together on all of these, okay? You guys, I'm going to throw them at you. You guys can work together.
That's going to be some random crap that nobody knows.
No. All right. The first one. How many Testudo statues are there and where are they?
Okay.
There's one inside the stadium as they run out.
So there's either four or five, and I'm not entirely sure. I know that there's one in the shell at Bird or whatever they call it now. There's one outside of Comcast or Xfinity or whatever they call it now. There's one at the administration building, and there's one at McKeldin. I think there might be one at what's the old basketball arena across Troop One?
Yes.
Something
Hall. R begins with an R.
Yeah, it begins with an R, and I don't remember what it is. Somebody in the chat room will say it, but I thought there might be one there, but I'm not sure about that. So I would say four.
So you forgot the one that's right by the Alumni Center as you're walking in the stadium from lot one, because you never walked
in. Oh, crap. They put a new one in there. That's right. That wasn't there before.
That's one you forgot. But there are actually six.
Okay.
So
where's the other one?
McKeldin Library.
Yeah. Richie Coliseum. Thank you, Jerry.
Richie Coliseum. Yes. Thank you, Jerry. Stamp Student Union is two. Xfinity Center's three.
That's what, the Student Union? Okay. Yeah. So these are all new, man. These are all
this. No, the one at the Student Union, I bought this shirt this week for the blackout, and I was in there and I rubbed his head.
Okay.
There's one at the Alumni, which is like that Alumni Center. You know where it, have you seen that?
In between Route 1 and
the stadium. Between
Lot Z and the stadium.
Right. And there's one there. So I always get that because I'm always on that side tailgating. That's four. And there are two at the stadium is what the website says. There's one on the field, of course, that they hit when they're running on, right? I don't know where the other one is, but they said six. And this comes from the Maryland website, by the way. So they said there are two at Maryland Stadium. Okay. Three people chimed in with Richie for us. Thank you very much. Yes. But that's not where one is anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
All right. Number two. When is Maryland Day?
It's the day of the spring game, generally. I don't know exactly what the
day is. That happens on Maryland Day, but yes, it's always
at the end. It's the Saturday at the end of April.
The last Saturday in April. We're giving you that one, Paul. Very good. Well, they have the red white scrimmage. Very good, yep. Paul. Okay. What year did March Madness begin at the University of Maryland, where fans came and actually watched them do the midnight run? What year was that where it first started?
So you're talking mid 70s, right?
No, this earlier than that, right?
Well, I think it was like Elmore and that whole crew, right? So you're talking what? 74, 75, 76.
Jeff, what's your guess? If you say earlier, what's your guess?
Did you say Midnight Madness or March Madness?
Midnight
Madness. I think the Midnight. The
first say March Madness? I meant Midnight Madness. My fault. Yeah. Midnight Madness.
First like lefty run, right?
Wendy's. There was one year where.
70s? 70, I'll say 76.
71.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it was earlier. Okay.
Also from the website, 71. All of this came from the website, by the way. On the Maryland page, there's a whole traditions page with a whole bunch of stuff.
Is where good I got thing this. People aren't paying me to know this stuff.
All right. Number four. Where does Terp Alley start and end? So this is the walk that the football team does, right?
Yeah. So it starts at the corner of Lot Z, and I don't know what road that is exactly, but like right in front of where that Testudo statue is, before you get to the Alumni Center. And then they walk all the way down Stadium Drive to the football team house. I have not witnessed this once since they started doing it, and I moved like 5 years ago. So I'm going to need a.
So according to the website, according to the traditions page on the UMD website, it starts at the traffic circle on Stadium Drive.
There's a traffic circle right there where
it starts there.
Where the Testudo is,
and they walk all the way around the side, like you said, up to the west gate entrance.
Oh, okay, sure. So,
all right.
I get partial credit.
Here's this is good. The next three are good. All right. You guys know the victory song. We're going to test. You're going to have to finish the lyric. So okay. I got a YouTube and it's, you can barely hear the vocals in this, but I'm going to stop it. And afterward, you have to tell me what the next line is. Start with the victory song, because I think that's the easiest of the three here. But here we go. Am I sharing? Let me. Oh, I am sharing audio. So here we go. Hang on. Sorry. I don't think I had that set up right. Okay, let me. Okay, here we go.
We got the team, boys. We got the steam, boys. Keep on fighting. Don't give in. M-A-R-Y-L-N-D. Maryland will win.
Very good. That's the easiest. That's the easiest one. I wanted to get you started with the easy one. Now,
Fight song's tougher.
Fight song is
next. I'm usually screaming and cursing when they're playing the fight song because we just gave it a touchdown.
Fight song is next. This one you can hear the vocals much better. Here we go.
Yeah.
Anything?
Yeah, I got nothing.
I think a nice line is, I can't believe we lost that fucking game. Is
that the next Stop cheating in for run plays when it's play action.
It is, and we will fight for Terrapins. Keep on fighting till we win. So sing out our song as we go marching along to victory. Here we go. There you go. That was the end. Okay. You guys did not get that one.
No.
Jerry said he loves a little fist pump. I didn't even realize they did a fist pump. What fist pump did I do? What did I do?
I don't know. That's funny though.
When did I do the fist pump?
I blacked out for a minute.
Tell me when. I didn't even realize I did it. So, okay. All right. Was it in time? Oh, it was in time. All right. Someone said the only people who know these lyrics are the band kids. All right. This is a tough one.
And Josh is a band kid, so he knows.
the alma mater. Okay. Normally we hear this completely instrumental by the
band. You don't even need to play it. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I'm going to play. I found on YouTube a virtual version of it. It's 16 people in grids, kind of like Brady Bunch style. So I think they did it during the pandemic, maybe, because that's how people were doing videos. And they sing it with the lyrics. So I'm going to play it and we'll just see, because I didn't really know this either. I just know the instrumental version that they played the game.
I hate it so much.
Here we go. Anything? Deep in our hearts we hold.
Please stop doing this to us and take that song and launch it into the sun.
All right, I'm playing the
singers. Larry, can you sing on that level, you think? Could you hang with them?
Yes, of course I could. Been doing choirs my whole life. Come on, Jeff. I still perform live. I could do that. Okay, here's the last two lines just to finish the song. It is singing my praise forever throughout the land, and then the big 4-3-2-3. It's called a plagal cadence, by the way, for you music theory nerds. Here we go. All right, they go on, but
alma maters are like the dumbest like college tradition that came out of like 20s or 30s or whenever they came up with this crap. So dumb. Everybody hold each other and sway back and forth like a bunch of idiots.
Jay Frisch.
Yeah, Josh is a band.
Is that a friend of yours?
He was a drummer in the band for a long time. He's a pep band, so he's
okay.
He knows all the stuff.
It is time to do Let me zoom in on this little bit.
We won't punish you anymore and make you listen.
So
more singing.
19 people. 19 people.
Okay.
Paul, pick a number between 1 and 19.
Lucky number 13, baby.
All right. So what I'm going to do is randomly generate. I'll share it and do it live. I'm going to randomly generate. Let me just share my screen here for you guys.
Do it live.
I'm going to randomly generate when I click out of this. Oh, net, there it is.
Dunce.
M. IMS is number one. Dunce M. Dunce M. There he is in the chat. All right. Dunce M, it is on you to write to one of us.
Yep. Tweet at us, email, anything.
Private message on the site.
Private message on the board. Go Team Carl. I'm sorry, you entered too late. I see that he just wrote it, but we had already started.
Don't worry, Carl. We're going to do this every week.
So. We're gonna do it again next week. And please, while everybody's still here, please do us a favor. Give us a like on the video. Give us a thumbs up and subscribe if you're not subscribed. If you're listening back later to the pod, next time you get into YouTube, please give us a follow. We're slowly building there.
And watch on YouTube next week so you can win a free subscription.
Watch on YouTube. Yep. We're gonna do it again next week. And
it's so easy.
It is so easy. So easy. All right, Dunce M. Who knows if he's still watching? But Dunce M, maybe he'll watch on the playback. I don't know. But it is your responsibility to get in touch with us, and you will receive 3 free months of premium on Inside Maryland Sports. It's maryland.247sports.com. And this has been IMS Radio. We will see you guys next Wednesday again at 7:30.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control all desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.